Today's show is brought to you by Bruce Fine Construction. If you can't find the house to buy, maybe it's time to build your house. Bruce built my home, and I know he can build your home too. Check him out today at brucefineconstruction.com or call at 570-362-1185. This episode is brought to you today by Whitehall Mortgage. Where there's a will, there's a Whitehall. Buying a home starts by getting a pre-approval, and nobody does it better than Doug in Dallas. Call them today at 570-562-7505 or apply online at whitehallmortgagefinancial.com. Hey everybody, I'm Dave Whitechalk. I'm the host of the Real Estate Right Now podcast, but today we're here at the Downtown Real Estate Academy. I'm not only a podcast host and a real estate broker, I'm actually the owner and the director of this school. And today what you're gonna see on our next few episodes here is our pre-licensing students going through a class, and we're gonna talk a little bit about what it is that I do as a teacher. And it's a great look at people who are interested in starting a career in real estate, which I know there's a lot of you out there. Hopefully this will answer a bunch of questions for you. Some of these are interesting, right? Just take a look at the first one. Making any substantial misrepresentation. What does that mean? I don't know. We're going to talk about this later in the book. Certain terms they like puffing, things like that. What does that mean? Any substantial misrepresentation. Great neighborhood. According to who? Is that a substantial misrepresentation? Well, no, I grew up in a terrible part of New York City. This is a great neighborhood compared to that. Right? That's an opinion. That gets tricky. So like substantial misrepresentation. What does that mean? I stay away from it.
Okay.
Now, when I list houses, I always say great neighborhood. In my opinion, it is. Is that a substantial misrepresentation? I don't know. So what is a substantial misrepresentation? 5-bed, 4-bath house. And you get there and it's 2 bedrooms, 1 bathroom.
Oh, God.
Well, wait a minute. I can prove that, right? How do you prove great neighborhood?
Right.
I think it is great. I'm a pretty positive guy, right? See, because that's the thing about being an optimist or a pessimist. It costs the same. One's just more fun, right? So like, you know, so it gets a little tricky. So some of these prohibited acts, I don't know. Failing to comply with all escrow requirements. That's a big one. That's gonna get you in trouble. Failing to preserve records relating to any real estate transaction for 3 years following the consummation of the transaction. We've gone paperless. I think most companies have. But in the old days, like 7 years ago, all of our files were on paper. So when we sold a house, I'd have to keep that file for 3 years. After 3 years, I can run it through a shredder. But I had to keep them for 3 years. Now that we're paperless, it's saved permanently. We have it a lot longer than that. All right? Here's a good one. Placing a for sale or for rent sign or advertising any property without the written consent of the owner. You say, well, of course, Dave. Of course you don't do that. I'm telling you, people do it. People say, oh, I got a listing coming. I'm going to go put a sign in the yard. No, you're not. You need that signed contract, because until it's signed, you don't have it. Right? So you'd be surprised how much that happens. Here's a big one. This is, I guarantee, a test question. 3 bullet points from the bottom. Paying of a commission by a broker to anyone other than the broker's licensed employee or another broker. That's a big one. I guarantee that's a test question. When you get your license, the biggest rule for how you get paid is you can only get paid by one broker, and that's the broker you work for. No one else can pay you. All right? It's a violation. It'll cause you all kinds of problems. So, well, what does that mean? Right? What does that mean? Well, we list a house. I say it all the time. Well, our fee is some percentage, 6%. We're going to give half of it to another company if they bring a buyer. All right? So, we'll cooperate with
another agency. We won't cooperate with another agent. See that? Back 10 years ago when it was hard to sell houses, people would literally give bonuses to agents who brought the buyer. And I would hear people say all the time, "Ooh, I got a buyer agent bonus." No, you didn't. Yes, I did. The buyer agent bonus, buyer agency bonus. See the difference? Buyer agent, buyer agency. You can get a bonus, but it doesn't get paid to you. It gets paid to your broker. And then your broker pays you. Right? Sometimes as a brokerage, you might have an agent who decides they want to leave. They have a house under contract. All right? As a broker, I can step in and take that deal to the finish line. And then if I want to still honor that that person did the majority of the work or whatever it may be, you want to pay that person. I can't pay them. I now have to write a check to their new employing broker because I can pay another broker, but I can't pay another agent at a brokerage other than my own. So if an agent leaves me and I still want to get them paid, I can write a check to their broker and then their broker can pay them, but I cannot pay that agent if they leave the company. So the only person that can pay you in this business is your employing broker. That is 1,000% one of the questions on the exam. All right? So you cannot get paid by anyone that isn't your employing broker. Over on the top, here's a big one, right? Being convicted in court or pleading guilty to nolo contendi, no contest, to forgery, embezzlement, obtaining money under false pretenses, bribery, larceny, extortion, conspiracy to defraud, or any felony. You have to report those. Sometimes people will ask me, they'll say, "Hey, Dave, I want to get my real estate license, but I have a DUI. I'm like, "Yeah, you and like 50% of everybody in this business. Fortunately, I've avoided that. All right, I'm very strict with certain things. You'd be surprised. Most things I'm pretty laid back. There's certain things I won't tempt. All right, but certain things, people worry about it because you need a criminal background check. "Hey, Dave, you know, when I was at the mall, this policeman, you know, found me with marijuana. I got a misdemeanor. Can I still get my real estate license?" "Yeah, probably." Right? "Hey, Dave, I used to work at the casino and I stole $742,000. "Man, I'm probably not going to get that license." Right? Because think about what we're doing here. You're handling a lot of money, big transactions, right? So, you know, it's going to be tough, right? But, you know, we have a lot of people, and if you're unfortunate enough, if you get a DUI while you have your license, just have to call the state and let them know. You know, it happens, all right? Up on the top of page 185, failing to provide a disclosure required by this act, all right? So you have to do seller's disclosure. Paying or accepting, giving, or charging an undisclosed commission, rebate, or compensation on expenditures for a principal. All right, that's a big one. Violating the Pennsylvania statutes. All these things you need to know. Failing as a broker, campground membership salesperson, or timeshare salesperson to comply with the requirements for handling deposits or other monies. Certain things on these prohibited acts are going to get you in trouble. What happens if you commit one of these prohibited acts? Step number one, don't do it. Saves a lot of trouble. Step number two, if you're unsure if something is allowed, the ultimate rule for salespeople in real estate, the ultimate answer for every question that you may have, ask your broker. People will come up to me and say, "Hey, Dave, am I allowed to do this if I do the button? Give me some..." Ask your broker. "Yeah, but what about you?" "Well, you're not my agent." Right? So your broker might have some opinion on something that is different from my opinion. I can tell you what my company does, but you're not part of my company. So if you have a specific question, ask your broker. "Hey, are we allowed to do this?" "No, you cannot do that. It violates the act." "Oh, okay." So if you're, rule number one, know what they are, don't do them. Rule number two, if you forget or you're unsure, ask your broker. Now, there are penalties for people who violate these things. What is it? First things first, posting suspension notices. Section 35291 of the regulations state that a broker or cemetery broker whose license is suspended must return the license to the commission and prominently post a commission-approved notice of the suspension at the public entrance of the main office and all branch offices. Sounds awesome, doesn't it? Who doesn't want to do that? Right, definitely don't want to do that. Relicensure after revocation. A revocation of a license lasts for at least 5 years from the date the revocation begins. After the 5 year period, the individual may petition the commission for relicensure. If the commission authorizes relicensure, the individual shall comply with prevailing current license requirements before the license is issued. So you might have to take your continuing education courses and so on and so forth before you get your license. But if your license gets revoked, it's 5 years before you can even apply to get it back. I'm going to be honest with you, for a lot of people, that's it, right? Like, if I had my license revoked, I can't wait 5 years. I have to go do something else. Right? Well, step one, I'm not going to get it revoked. Right? So how do you do that? You follow the rules. You know, and honestly, like, I'm pretty laid back about a lot of things, and I like to have fun and whatever. There's certain things, they're just not fun. You have to follow the letter of the law, and when those things pop up, that's exactly what I do. Now, there are civil penalties. Section 305 of RELRA. The commission may levy a civil penalty of up to $1,000 against any current licensee who violates the act or any person who practices real estate without being properly licensed. Reporting crimes and disciplinary actions. We talked about this a little bit. A licensee shall notify the commission of a conviction, pleading guilty, or no contest to a felony or misdemeanor. The report must be made within 30 days of the verdict or the plea. If a licensing authority in another jurisdiction takes disciplinary action, the licensee must notify the commission in Pennsylvania within 30 days. So if you get yourself in trouble, you have to notify the commission within 30 days. I've never seen a license revoked. I mean, I hate to say it, it's almost built into our culture here in northeastern Pennsylvania. I've never seen a license revoked for a DUI. I've never seen it. It's probably the number one thing that I see here in northeastern PA. If someone has a blemish, it's a DUI. A lot of them. All right? I mean, try not to do that. Now, the Real Estate Recovery Fund. Over in the margin, it says maximum amount payable from the recovery fund, $20,000 per claim, $100,000 per license. Yeah, a lot of money. Rule number one, don't get your broker sued. It's a really great way to damage the relationship between you and your broker. It does happen. All right, so what is the Real Estate Recovery Fund? First paragraph. The Real Estate Recovery Fund was established to provide a means for aggrieved persons to collect judgments in civil court. All right? The aggrieved party must first exhaust all other avenues to collect the judgment before applying to the fund. So now, how do they collect from the fund? Well, they must show that they are not a spouse or personal representative of the spouse of the licensee, that a final judgment was awarded, and that reasonable remedies have been exhausted to collect the judgment. All right, the maximum amount that may be paid from the fund for any one claim is $20,000 and $100,000 per licensee. If $100,000 is insufficient to settle the claim against the licensee, The 100,000 must be distributed according to the same ratio as the respective claims. Next paragraph, it says, monies for the fund are collected from licensees. The fund was originally established in 1980. Believe it or not, this is a number that you'll have to know. Each licensee pays $10 into the fund when licenses were renewed. Subsequently, any person to whom a license is issued and who has not previously contributed to the fund pays $10. According to Section 802 of RELRA, the commission may assess an additional fee not to exceed $10 if the fund drops to $300,000 or less to bring the fund's balance up to $500,000. That's what they want in the fund. So every time you renew your license, 10 bucks goes into the real estate recovery fund. When you get your license initially, 10 bucks of that fee goes into the real estate recovery fund. So if people feel that they were victims of fraud and they try to get their money back every reasonable way, they have access to it through the fund.
Thanks for joining us for today's episode, everybody. If you want to hear more content, follow us at Real Estate Right Now Pod on YouTube. Once you're there, don't forget to subscribe and leave a review. And if you want to follow me directly, check me out. It's Dave Wychok at Facebook, LinkedIn, TikTok, Instagram, all the socials that you're already using.